Welcome everyone to the Business Analysis Summit 2011. I'm Penny Pullen of Making Projects Work Limited, and I'm your host for all of the calls in this BA Summit. If you'd like to see a list of all the speakers and their topics, then please visit www.basummit.com. Today, I'm delighted to be interviewing Suzanne Robertson on the topic of the Business Analyst and the Project Manager. I first met Suzanne at the Business Analysis Conference in London in 2009. Many listeners will know of her innovative techniques and fresh thinking across systems development and requirements. As a principal and founder of the Atlantic Systems Guild, Suzanne co-authored the book Adrenaline Junkies and Template Zombies, Understanding the Patterns of Project Behavior in 2009. This book recognizes how people behave during projects, and I'm sure we'll hear more as we delve into the topic of that key relationship in projects, the business analyst and the project manager. Too often, unfortunately, the project manager and business analyst don't see things eye to eye. In fact, at the very conference where we met, Suzanne, a project manager bravely tried to point out how business analysts could improve their relationships with project managers. Unfortunately, she's quite critical of VAs and the reception was very hostile, so there's definitely a problem. Suzanne, we're relying on you to tap into your deep experience of many project managers and many business analysts to help us to transform the relationship that drives our projects. I'm delighted to be running this session with you, and it's important that we get this relationship right. You're very welcome to the Business Analysis Summit 2011.
Penny, thank you so much for the welcoming and somewhat controversial introduction. I'm happy to have the opportunity to talk to you about this subject.
Fantastic. Suzanne, on our topic today, can I start by asking if you would give us your view of the perfect relationship between the project manager and business analyst?
Well, the most vivid memory that I've got of the best project manager I ever worked with, his name was Peter, by the way, was that his office door was always open. And all the project plans, risk logs, value analyses and event reports were very plainly displayed on his wall. And this had the effect that all of us were always drifting in and out of Peter's office and looking at the checkpoints and telling him what needed to be updated and asking him questions. He didn't style himself as a universal expert. Instead, he respected our knowledge and asked for guidance from us. In fact, I once overheard him say to one of his colleagues that his success was due to hiring people who were smarter than he was. Now, his ability to quickly identify the right people and get them together to help each other whenever we needed to solve a problem encouraged us to ask him for help. And also, well, it was fun working with him. He believed in celebrations and congratulations, you know, always chocolate biscuits, for example, for a milestone. And he never blamed you for making a mistake, well, unless you didn't learn from it. Then you were in hot water. I didn't know it at the time, but another thing that he did was he protected us from irrelevant politics and people who would have had a negative influence on our progress. And anyone who wanted to mess with us had to convince Peter. I could tell you an awful lot more about him, but probably the best summary I can think of is that Peter shared many qualities with an English nanny. He encouraged us to learn, kept us fed and watered, gave us feedback, listened to us, and protected us from these bad influences. I mean, like a nanny, Peter managed the project by taking heed of what was really happening rather than what was planned to happen. And it was a pleasure to work with him.
He does sound ideal, doesn't he? Wow, and I should imagine there are several BAs listening who are wishing that Peter was their project manager, perhaps.
Yes, he was. I'm sure not one of a kind. I'm sure that we forget what to appreciate sometimes.
Of course, nannies come with connotations of spoon feeding, but it doesn't sound as if that was what Peter was like.
No, he wasn't. And also, they come with connotations of being a bossy pants too.
Yes.
And he wasn't like that. He was very, very clever. Clever enough to know what he knew and to listen to us. And he really, in fact, we, we felt as if we were helping him to steer the project, and of course we were, because all of our input was being taken into account. Mm.
Interesting that you were co-located as well, so you could go and look at something visual stuck up on an office wall.
Did make a big difference.
Mm. Mm. Okay. So moving on to the questions that have been coming in, and we've had quite a few of them. The first is from Julie. What are the key differentiators between project managers and business analysts regarding to their purpose, remit, so their activities, their responsibilities, and their skill set? Are there any commonalities? And she goes on to add that she's often been in the situation where it's not clear who, the project manager or the business analyst, ought to be doing what, where the boundary is, and how to best complement each other to get the most out of it for both. Mostly, she tends to just reach an agreement with the project manager on a case-by-case basis, but she was curious to see if there are any general guidelines.
Well, I think what Julie says about being very, very concerned about a case-by-case basis is a very good guideline in itself. I mean, it is important to consider not just, you know, this is your role, this is what you've got to do, and this is what I'm doing, but also personalities. You know, building up a good relationship is very important. However, a few other guidelines that might be helpful. The BA needs to understand a business. By focusing on skills like investigation, clarification, and quantification. So in order to do this, and because the BA is really getting in contact with so many different people, the BA needs to have a varied set of techniques and representations. I mean, a very varied set for communicating with a wide range of people, you know, so that you get the right feedback strategy.
Mm.
To ensure that all the particular participants in, you know, in a particular communication are understanding the business problem, the ideas and the solutions in the same way.
Mm.
Now, if you look then at the project manager and the focus of the project management skills, well, first of all, of course, they've got to be good planners. They've got to really like planning and be good planners, and also interested and good at estimating.
Mm.
Good at administering things, you know, making things happen, little administrative details, and also supervising things. Now, the place where there's a big intersection in skills is the communication skills.
Yeah.
But of course, the PM, he needs, or she needs in particular, to be able to listen to higher management and then also to business analysts, to designers, to systems architects, to implementers, to testers. So the project manager, whilst having different communication concerns to those of the BA, has still got to be very good at understanding what the mental model of different people are, and getting a good feedback loop going. I was thinking about this, and I think the complementary skills of a BA and a PM could be likened to those of the detective inspectors and the chief of police.
Mm.
You know, because the detective inspectors are concerned with understanding the details and solving the crime, while the chief is concerned with keeping the whole investigation on track, allocating the right resources, and of course, you know, keeping up the morale of everyone who's working on the investigation.
Mm. Fantastic. Never heard that analogy before, but I think it works quite well, doesn't it?
I'm very fond of detective stories, and there are a lot of good analogies.
Fantastic. Okay, we've got a question from Salim from Pakistan. He asks about project managers and BAs, if they work together, should they work with the project manager leading the project or the business analyst leading the vision?
I was a bit puzzled by this question
because
it really is true to say that the goal or the vision for the project should be guiding the work of both the BA and the project manager.
Makes sense to me.
I mean, if the two have not got the same goal or measure of success, then it's very difficult to to find out the right things and work towards that goal, and also to steer the project towards that goal. I mean, the BA has to understand the business and make recommendations about how to improve it.
Mm.
So the BA has really got to understand the goal, because otherwise you can go off, you know, in all sorts of irrelevant directions or miss things.
Mm.
Whereas the PM has to steer the project through the organizational scene and continually help the BA and the developers to make use of and procure the necessary resources. So quite often I hear people talking as if BAs and PMs are at odds with each other, you know, they're in fisticuffs, and it really shouldn't be the case. The goal is something that they've both got to understand. They know that it's going to inform their decisions as they go. You know, it'll inform the BA as to whether to waste time on another interview on that subject, for example.
Mm.
Whereas it'll inform the PM on, well, we've got this much time available to reach this value, so I can talk to the BA and get their guidance on which way we should go, what we should pay our most attention to. But we've got to have a shared goal, or otherwise you can't have the conversation.
Mm. It's interesting. It's something I often think about when I'm working with people and suggest that they need to develop a really clear vision for their project. I suppose my dream team would be the business analyst facilitating that, and the project manager working with them to make sure that that vision happens, that everybody is in consensus about it, and that that then leads the project and everybody's clear on that vision that they're aiming for.
Most definitely, most definitely. And people sometimes talk as if the goal appears on a golden plate, and it doesn't. Sometimes if you've got a really good strategic project planning department, then you might get it. But you see, what you really need is to have a shared understanding of the purpose of why you're doing the project, the advantage that the organization expects to get from doing it, and a measurement of how you will know if it has been successful. And it's usually, finding answers to those questions is really a skill that a BA has, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
If the project manager can be involved in understanding the answers to those questions and saying, yes, I understand it the same way as you do, I mean, that's terribly valuable time spent at the beginning of a project, and also builds up a very good relationship with the BA and the PM.
Fantastic. I can see an awful lot of projects around nowadays where those just haven't been set up.
Most definitely.
Anyway, we could divert off into project failure, couldn't we? So let's go back to the next question, also from Salim, a bit of a radical suggestion. Because the BA requires frequent interaction with the solutions team, and building consensus with a team requires people management skills, which are part of the BA's competencies, also highlighted in Babak. So he suggests that perhaps the project manager isn't really required, or somebody in a project management office or PMO could be enough for project tracking and monitoring. Pretty radical, that one.
Yeah, it is indeed. And it's certainly worth thinking about, because we just think that, first of all, the BA needs to work with the solution team to identify alternative solutions relative to costs, benefits, and constraints.
Mm.
We know that the BA has to be able to do that.
Yes.
The project manager needs to be able to keep track of the progress towards the chosen solution. So whilst they're both interested in the same subject matter, they're interested in it for different reasons.
Mm.
Now, if the PM works within the project management office, and this is sometimes a lot of organizations have got this policy, you're removing him or her from the day-to-day, what's really happening. That's what my worry is.
Mm.
In my experience, it always works better if a real person, rather than a role, is working as a member of the team. And so that not having not having a project manager, or not having somebody filling the role of a project manager, I think is a mistake.
Yes, I think that could be a disaster, couldn't it? Given what we've said so far about these two roles being so critical to project success. Interesting. Somebody suggested that the business analyst should work more closely with program managers. And actually, this is something I've been thinking about for a while. With a focus on benefits realization, benefits management, I think that the business analyst should certainly work with program managers. And in fact, I spent quite a bit of time in recent months working with program managers myself to bring them up to speed with the latest thinking in business analysis and what we can do for them. What do you think about this, Suzanne?
Well, I actually agree. The program manager is a vital business stakeholder who has responsibility for many of the business decisions. So now the BA, however, is trained to articulate possibilities along with the comparative costs and benefits. If the BA doesn't work closely with the program manager, then it'll actually slow progress down because the program manager will actually know a lot of the things that will help the BA to articulate the possibilities and cost and benefits. But to do this well, it does necessitate that the program manager understands why the BA's analytical training and skills will also help the program manager to get better results. And I think because it's a term that's bandied around a little bit at the moment, you know, you can go into one organization and a program manager will have different responsibilities from those in another organization. So I think it's important to have the conversation first between the BA and the PM as to how they can help each other and what their particular role and responsibility is within that particular organization.
Interesting. Certainly when I went into a big technology company and worked with their program managers, they were unaware of the depths of knowledge and resources and skills that were available in their business analysts. They just assumed they were people who wrote requirements documents.
Yes, I
think, you know, if you're a business analyst, certainly make sure your program manager realizes what you can do for them.
Absolutely.
Super. Jeffrey asks or states, I've always managed my own projects and I prefer to do so. This enables me to keep the project under full control and to ensure that business needs are met. Why is this approach now discouraged?
Well, on one of the projects I did with my five partners in the Atlantic Systems Guild, this is a few years ago, we decided that we didn't need a project manager. So we were all confident that we knew what we were going to do. We all had a shared goal, and we knew what each one of us had to do. So we thought, we really don't need to have a project manager. Now, after a couple of weeks, you can guess what happened. It was blindingly obvious that we'd made a bad decision, because the lack of an organized thread through the project meant that we were missing things and misunderstanding each other to actually considerable cost, even that early.
Really? Though you knew each other very well.
Even though we knew each other very well. So we put Plan B into action. And ever since then, we've always appointed one of us as the project manager for every project we do. Of course, if you're the only person on the project, then you can fill all the roles, including that of the project manager. So I'm not sure whether Jeffrey's referring to one person having two roles. And on a small project, of course, yes, of course, you can do it. But as things start to scale up, it's just too difficult for one person to have all of those perspectives and do them well enough. And hence, I would always say have a project manager.
I would say even on those small projects, when you have one person doing multiple roles, I find it very useful, and I've been in that situation, to almost swap hats.
Yes.
And to get into the mindset of the project manager when I'm going to do the project managing side, and to get into the mindset of business analyst when I'm doing that role.
Yes, it's very good advice.
Because I think otherwise it's very easy, as you say, to miss some things. to miss the perspective that it's useful. Yeah. Okay. Mm. So we're not in that situation of being both business analyst and project manager, and things are tough. Where should we go? So here's a question from Adrian. Adrian asks, what should a BA do when they're working with a project manager who sees them as little more than a note taker? How do we prove our value to a project manager who's only interested in ticking boxes and whose focus seems to be restricted to delivering something quickly, even if it's the wrong thing?
Hmm. This is pathological behavior.
Yep.
It really is. Mm. I mean, in this situation, the project manager is not managing the project. Whatever he or she is doing is not related to what the BA is working on and what the project is about. Now, it's unfortunately in the old-fashioned world when people first coined the term business analyst, business analysts were thought of as being stenographers.
Yes.
You know, you would just tell them your requirements and they'd write it down, make it into a pretty document and everyone, and then it would all be done. Well, a business analyst, as we know, is not a stenographer. A business analyst is an analyst and somebody who needs to understand the business and to raise hard questions about the business and to get different people to converge on ideas. A business analyst is as well, I'm passionate about this, is not a stenographer.
But yes, definitely.
I have seen the situation when the PM does not understand that the role of the BA is complementary to that of the PM.
Yes.
Now, without this understanding, the project manager exhibits this sort of pathological behavior.
Yeah.
And I think often, because the ignorance of what a business analyst is breeds fear into the project manager. You know, a lot of this pathological behavior is not because people are, you know, stupid or bad or anything like that.
Yes.
It's quite often because they're frightened.
Yes. Mm. So I suppose for Adrian, the question is, are you able to have a discussion with your project manager and to explain how the skills of a business analyst can actually help the project manager to do a better job and to explain what those skills are?
And perhaps, as always, the best way is by example.
Mm.
Something that I've seen work rather well is coming back to our discussion about goals at the beginning of a project. And, you know, using a business analysis technique of trying to get the goals, the stakeholders, and the scope balance with each other.
Yeah.
And a business analyst can actually show the project manager how to do this quite quickly or how to draw out the questions quite quickly. If the business analyst could actually sit down with the project manager and just work through a real problem with them, rather than saying, you know, we are good and we will be terrific, but actually showing them, you can gradually sell it in that sort of way, because you can point out some of the advantages, like, you know, if you can capture scope early, there are all sorts of things a project manager can count and start making real estimates, you know, based on a real scope that they've agreed on that will change, but you know what's changing. It actually sets up a wonderful communication and people get quite excited about it.
Sounds fantastic. I think, too, that sometimes people who are project managers in this situation have had prior experiences where people who call themselves business analysts really weren't.
Yes, yes.
So, yes, okay. Elizabeth asks, what's your view on using a responsibility matrix to understand the roles of the BA and PM? I think Elizabeth is actually a project manager and who's had some bad experience and some good experience as well, and this is something that she's used herself.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a good way to help the BA and the PM build a relationship because you're doing something together. I suggest you do build it together, but you're doing something together where you, by doing it, you start to understand more about what the other person's role is.
Yes.
I mean, so I think it's a very good communication model in a way.
Yes.
However, one caveat, one has to be careful that it's not just a form-filling exercise because that'll just turn into, you know, bureaucratic procedure and it won't be helping anybody. Yes. So I would say build it together and it's really going to help tremendously.
Mm. Super. So build it together as a group, probably with BA, project manager and others.
Yes, for sure.
As well.
For sure.
Yeah. Super. So another question from Elizabeth, who's a project manager. The science of project management is moving towards a value-driven approach. But as a project manager, I know that sometimes we get too focused on the dates and the budget. How do you suggest that BAs bring the project manager on the team back to focus on quality and stakeholder satisfaction?
Well, most of all, having frequent communication on what we're working on, what progress we've made, and where we have to make decisions. I mean, that more than anything else, you know, a good frequent feedback loop between the PM and the BA. Because the BA should make recommendations about how much business value we can deliver within the date budget constraint, relative, of course, to the goal, you know, pointing back to the goal.
Yeah.
Now, I really think that we should be applying agile techniques as soon as we start the business analysis, and not waiting until we've identified software interfaces. Yeah, so it's coming back to this idea of iteration. Now, if very early in the project, and the BA's got the skills to do this, the BA can identify chunks that potentially could add value, then the BA and the PM can get together, and the BA can make a case for, you know, this chunk perhaps first and maybe this one, and the PM can say, well, yes, except don't forget we need that resource first, so maybe could we go with this chunk. Mm. And they can actually, it's almost like they're planning the sprint very, very early, and the rest of the chunks that have been identified as part of the scope, we just put them on the backlog. And when the PM and the BA are ready to say, okay, what's the next chunk? Yeah. So they're actually working very closely together.
But there's a theme here, isn't there, working very closely together.
Absolutely.
Okay, another question from Elizabeth, another point. BAs are often much closer to the business users than project managers, so they're better placed to identify risks earlier. Oh, Elizabeth, you're somebody after my own heart.
Mm-hmm.
How do you suggest that project managers and business analysts work together on risk management so that overall the project delivery benefits? And, of course, having just written a book on facilitating risk management, which had a lot of input from business analysts, it's obvious to me that the BA should be involved in risk management. But when I suggest this, so many business analysts throw up their hands in horror and say it's down to the project management and how could I be adding more to their plate? How do we get this changed? After all, who's better placed to facilitate the work of risk identification with stakeholders than the business analyst?
Yes, you know, this is another controversial point. And I think actually Elizabeth touched on it. It's perhaps because risk has been traditionally been put on the PM's plate. You know, it's got the PM label on it.
It has, hasn't it?
However, it's the BA's continuous investigations that identify the risks.
Mm.
So if the BA and the PM have a common vocabulary, for example, for the levels of investigation, then the BA can iteratively inform the PM of indicators of new or changed risks. So I'm talking about, you know, this whole idea of looking at things earlier. So at the highest level, the BA can say, well, look, with this scope, I can identify these risks already. In this chunk that we want to go further on, I can identify some other risks. And now it then becomes the PM's job to manage the risks.
Yeah.
Because the BA has not got time to do relative probability assessments, keep risk diagrams up to date, monitor the transition indicators, that turn a risk into a problem. I mean, there's just so much that can be done if the BA and the PM collaborate on the subject of risk. And here we are, they're back together again. For example...
Suzanne, can I interrupt there and say, you know, you've just said there is so much that could be done if the BA and PM collaborate on... Full stop, I think. But yes, with risk as well. So you had an example that I just interrupted you on.
No, I was just thinking about the project schedule, for example. Mm. And the project schedule should be based on the BA's early discoveries about coming back to this idea of goals, scope, stakeholders, and the attendant risks.
Yes.
Because if the BA can communicate that coherently to the project manager early, then the project manager can say, okay, well, let's have a look at these. I'll do a bit of a risk analysis. Mm-hmm. These are the ones that I'm really going to focus on. We keep talking about them. And, you know, it's so full of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, another question from Salim. If there is a business analyst and a project manager on a project, and the organization's management has to be brought to the table for a solution, and it's something which the management have very high expectations of, who should perform the expectations management part? For him, there's quite a challenge occurring, and he sees high chance of conflict of interest if the business analyst and project manager are there as well on the same table.
Well, and I think, too, that there's something very interesting here. I wonder whether it's on purpose or by accident, but it's quite convenient for the organization's management to have the BA and the PM at loggerheads, because what happens then is the organization's management can just say, well, we want it. And if you guys, you know, you can't agree, but we want it, and that's that. If you just stand back a little bit, the BA needs to be able to articulate the business problem.
Mm.
And, of course, the goals, in a precise and consistent way.
Yeah.
And the PM needs to be able to articulate the constraints on solving the problem along with the goals, once again, gluing them together a bit.
Yeah.
And it's the BA-PM combination that can expose the truth of the problem by putting the pieces on the table in a clear manner.
Yeah.
Now, if they can work together to do that, and it's the dispassionate of... Well, look, we understand that this is what you want. We understand that these are the constraints. These are the recommendations we can make about doing this.
Yeah.
And by doing this expose, it can avoid the situation where the organization's management just pulls the naughty child trick. You know, they just jump up and down and say, well, look, I want it. And we need it, or we've got to have it, you know. And I've heard that quite a lot. And I think
me too, Suzanne.
You know, we have to be able to unfold the problem in a way that it's irrefutable.
Yes.
Whereas if we talk generally, you know, then we'll get this bad behavior.
Yes. So again, this strong partnership with the BA and the project managers, again, coming out is absolutely critical.
Really is.
So a final question coming in. This one's from Sumita. She says some things I'm going to summarize a little bit. How can a project manager and a business analyst agree on a common working style that is mutually beneficial? Because sometimes project managers behave badly and do things like treat the BA as a subordinate, expect the BA to act like an assistant. They don't value the business analyst skills. They micromanage a BA's input and all sorts of other things that indicate that the project manager hasn't really got a clue what the business analyst is supposed to contribute or what they could contribute if they work together well.
Yeah, it really is important for them to set up an alliance that's based on being able to talk to each other all the way through the project. Now, for example, you know, if at the beginning of a project, the BA and the PM agree on the terminology that they will use to exchange knowledge about the project, having some common language for talking about the products of business analysis is a pretty important part of the foundation for BA-PM communication.
Mm.
And, you know, I've seen lots of projects, for example, where the BA and the PM talk about how many requirements they've got. And they believe that they mean the same thing by a requirement.
Yes.
So they're both, you know, agreeing with each other and nodding, saying, you know, we've got this many ovens, it's going to take this long, and so on. And then we discover, when we start to get into more detail, that each of them is talking about different granularity and different attributes. So, you know, even though they're both using the same term, their mental models are quite different. So
divided by a common, divided by a language of the same words that mean different things. Yeah,
absolutely true. And without a shared language, it makes it impossible for a BA to communicate what's really happening, and for the PM to make appropriate decisions, and to, you know, adjust plans and supply resources. So I think just spending a little bit of time at the beginning, avoiding saying, oh, everybody knows what one of those is, but saying, this is what we mean by one of those in this project, and agreeing it. And once you've got that, you've got a much better basis for being able to value each other, really, and talk to each other in a coherent way.
And important to do that, even if you are co-located and speak the same language and you're all from the same part of the world. Even more important if you are spread around the world and you have people even who all speak English, but maybe some people from South Africa, some people from the States, some people from the UK, some people from India. Yes.
Well, you're so right, Penny, because, you know, when people are speaking different languages, different countries, I suppose we, to some extent, are expecting to have more trouble, you know, having a common language.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if we are closer to people and we know them well and we think we're talking the same language, then quite often we can fall into terrible traps. But it happens, as you point out, you know, in both cases. It's just, I think it's a formality that we would benefit tremendously from.
Yes,
if we made it just part of our habit.
Suzanne, we could go on for hours, but unfortunately we're coming to the end of our time. So I'd like to say a big thank you to you for taking part in this summit. I'm sure that everyone listening in today and those replaying later will find your content invaluable. It's given us a lot to think about, especially about this really strong partnership for the project. There's some things that I'm sure we can start working on straight away. So if anyone hasn't got a really clear goal, scope and stakeholders or agreement of how they work with their project manager, they know what to do next. Suzanne, I know that you have lots of resources which business analysts may find useful. Where should people go to find out more?
Well, the Atlantic Systems Guild have a website. It's www.systemsguild.com.
Okay.
And there's also a website for the Volare requirements techniques. You're just focusing a lot on requirements.
Okay.
And that's volare.co.uk.
And that's Volare, so V-O-L-E-R-E.
That's right. It's the Italian word for to wish or to want. That's where it came from. So it's just button to requirements. And there's quite a bit on those websites about, well, we've written more than 10, 15 books, I think, within the Guild. And there'll be details about those. And also, there are a lot of articles on both websites that might be interesting to people, and of course various things like our seminars, consulting and so on that we do. And there's also a LinkedIn group which focuses on requirements. It's a Volare LinkedIn group. There's quite a lot of resources. I think that's the best place to go and get a bit more is either of those two websites.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Suzanne. Thank you too for everyone listening in right through to the very end. In case you have to miss any of the sessions, or if you'd like to listen again another time, you can upgrade to gain permanent access to all the sessions in the summit. To do that, go to www.basummit.com/upgrade for more details. Until next time, all the best. Bye.